You are listening to Real World News.
Developed countries to blame for failure of COP18 on climate change. For Environmental Federation, Friends of the Earth International, the blame for the failure of the United Nations Conference on Climate Change that took place in Doha, Qatar, lays squarely on developed countries, which are historically responsible for the climate crisis as a result of their dirty development since the mid-19th century. Developed countries did not even try to solve the climate crisis at these talks. Instead, they continue to protect the interests of fossil fuel corporations and help financial elites grow their latest cash cow, the global carbon market scam, said Sarah Jane Clifton, Friends of the Earth International Coordinator of the Climate Justice Program. The Conference of the Parties, COP18, to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, ended on December the 8th. On that day, Friends of the Earth International issued a press release entitled Doha Climate Talks, Industrialized Countries Block Climate Action. Real World Radio interviewed Sarah to learn more about Friends of the Earth International's position at the COP. The coordinator of the Climate Justice Program highlighted the lack of commitment by industrialized countries to cut their polluting emissions and to increase the climate fund to support developing nations affected by the climate crisis. She also regretted that the Kyoto Protocol has turned into an empty shell and insisted on the negative role played by industrialized nations, especially the United States.
Real World Radio is interviewing again Sarah Jane Clifton. She is the coordinator, the international coordinator of the Climate Justice and Energy Program of Friends of the Earth International. Sarah, thank you very much again for being in touch with us. It's a pleasure to have you talking with us again.
Thanks very much for having me there.
Sarah, we are almost a week after the end of this new COP on climate change, the 18th edition of the Climate Change Conference of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. What is the evaluation that Friends of the Earth International is doing after the end of this important conference of the United Nations?
Well, Jose, I think, unfortunately, our fears about the climate talks in Qatar were realized. We saw no real progress on the key actions which we urgently need to see progress on if we're going to both stop climate change getting worse and also have as good a chance as possible of avoiding catastrophic climate change. We saw no real progress in Doha on cutting emissions by the rich industrialized countries who are primarily responsible for causing the climate crisis. And we saw really what can only amount to an insulting gesture at climate finance from rich countries to the developing world to repay their climate debts and compensate for their role in causing the problem.
Okay, Sarah, we have heard mainly from Asad Rehman, who was the spokesperson of Friends of the Earth International there in Doha, that the issue on reduction of the emissions and the issue of climate finance were important things in which we had no developments almost in Doha. What can you tell us about that, Sarah?
Absolutely. Well, as I just said, as Asad told you last week when he was there at the talks, those are the two areas where we urgently need to progress. They're two key foundations of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, which recognise the historic responsibility of rich countries in causing the climate crisis. And in that convention, the rich countries agreed both to cut their emissions first and fastest and to deliver the climate finance. Now, what was supposed to happen in Doha was that countries were due to agree the second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol. That was a framework which was agreed to cover some of the rich countries, not the US, because the US refused to be part of it. And it covered emissions reductions for some of the rich countries up till 2012, but then there was no agreement on how it would continue. So countries were due to agree the next commitment period, the next period for the Kyoto Protocol in Doha. And also there was big demands from developing countries for urgently needed progress on climate finance. So at the Copenhagen talks a few years ago, the rich countries committed to providing $100 billion per year in climate finance by 2020, as well as $30 billion in fast start finance through the period 2010 to 2012. But there was really, that finance was running out. There was no promise of finance for 2013 and no progress on the long-term finance. Now, what we saw happen in Qatar was we did see agreement on a second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol. So they agreed a commitment period to cover emissions targets, emissions cuts for rich countries from now until 2020. But those targets, they only cover some rich countries. They actually only cover the EU, Australia, Norway, and a handful of other rich countries. They don't cover the United States because the United States rejected the Kyoto Protocol, and they don't cover other big and important rich countries like Russia and Canada. And worse, the targets are very, very low. They're not in any way sufficient to actually either really tackle climate change or sufficient to address the historic contribution of those countries to climate change. We really need to be seeing cuts by those countries of the order of at least 40% by 2020 on 1990 levels, and the targets themselves agreed in Doha only add up to about 18%. There's a vague promise that they will try and increase those targets, but there's no requirement, no legal requirement. And what's worse, the crazy situation is that the countries that didn't agree to emissions cuts under the second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol, Russia and Canada and others, they are still allowed to participate in the main carbon trading scheme. We know that carbon trading is a dangerous scam. It's really just a way in which rich countries can avoid their emissions cuts and their financial industries can make money from the climate crisis. But actually, in Doha, it was agreed that countries that aren't even seeking to commit to reduce their emissions can still participate in carbon trading, which is crazy. And then on climate finance, we saw a few small pledges from a few rich countries like the UK, but most of that is recycled aid money again, and there was no progress again on long-term financing to 2020. The talks themselves were extended, so there is plans to continue discussions on long-term finance next year, but the discussions have been paralyzed and not moving for the last several years, so we actually urgently needed to see concrete action and commitments, not just more plans for more talking.
So, Sara, it would be okay if we say that nowadays the Kyoto Protocol is an empty shell? Would that be fine?
Totally. You're exactly right. That's exactly the right description. The Kyoto Protocol is an empty shell. It's not strong enough or ambitious enough to really drive forward the emissions cuts by rich countries we need to see. And the other thing which is an empty shell is the Green Climate Fund. There's hardly any money on it, and there's hardly sufficient plans about how you get the money to put in it. So we've got two empty shells where we actually need to see urgent and ambitious progress.
Okay, Sara, before we finish, we are quoted in the press release that Friends of the Earth International launched on last Saturday when the conference of the parties ended, and you said that the fossil fuel lobby won the Qatar Desert Climate Battle, where we witnessed dirty industry elites still holding the reins of our governments. It is something which is related with the corporate capture message that Friends of the Earth International has been denouncing in the last year. What can you say to us about that, Sara, especially?
Well, exactly as you said, Jose, we, in our analysis as Friends of the Earth International, we think the issue of corporate capture of our governments and also of our international institutions, including many of the UN institutions, is at the heart of the failure of progress that we need to see both in terms of tackling the climate crisis, but also other important environmental justice concerns. In terms of the failure of the Doha talks, the blame lies squarely with the rich industrialized countries, most importantly the United States. The Obama administration has been for several years now actively trying to dismantle the global climate rules and succeeding. So we've seen the global climate framework unraveling, and other world nations have joined in and started dodging their commitments on emissions cuts and finance. And this is really what's been paralyzing progress from the talks. And we know very, very broadly that the reason why the rich countries are doing this is because of the influence both of the fossil fuel lobby and also other powerful industrial elites and financial elites. The influence, their influence over our governments means that our governments are very often increasingly not going to the climate talks to talk about how to tackle climate change, but going to the climate talks to protect their own economic interests, not the economic interests of the majority of people, either in the rich countries of the north, and definitely not in the interests of the people in the countries in the south, but the economic interests of elites, particularly those linked to the fossil fuel industry. So we really need to tackle and expose and counter that influence of corporations if we're going to see the progress that we need in the climate talks. I think it also shows that we can't wait on our governments to see sense. So we know that we also need to act strongly as communities and as activists and campaigners in our countries to resist fossil fuels and dirty energy, to build clean energy co-ops, to transform our food systems and protect our forests and multinationals. These kinds of things are already happening and are growing, and we're really seeing a kind of flourishing of resistance and solutions in our communities, and we need to strengthen those activities whilst at the same time really putting the pressure on our governments to act and to resist the pressure from the corporations and the fossil fuel industry.
Okay, those were the words of Sarah Jane Clifton, International Coordinator of the Climate Justice and Energy Program of Friends of the Earth International.
You are listening to Real World News.